Grand Parade Investments announced today that they're closing down their Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins. Baskin Robbins, if you don't know, is ice cream franchises because of poor performance. And when I read that, I was intrigued because I don't always understand why some imported consumer brands work in South Africa and others don't. Quite clearly, Dunkin' Donuts hasn't and Baskin Robbins hasn't. Starbucks, I would argue, hasn't really worked in South Africa. Whereas, you know, McDonald's has, and KFC, which is a legacy international brand, certainly has. Paul Whitburn is an analyst and portfolio manager at Rosendahl Partners. Paul, good afternoon. Is there an easy answer to this question?
Hi, good afternoon to you and your listeners. There's an easy answer. I mean, really it boils down to gaining scale. So it's obviously easier to try and launch a well-known global brand in South Africa, like you say, KFC, McDonald's and everything. But with all these things, there is a J-curve of opening up 5, 10, 15 stores. And, you know, if your brand isn't really gaining traction in the early days of sort of a few stores, then sometimes it's best to sort of walk away and move on if the economics just don't make sense. So I think that's really the problem with Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin, is that they just didn't really gain that scale. They didn't have, you know, between the two of them, they might have had 20 stores in total. It's just not big enough. Where you look at,
surely, Paul, the reason they're not big enough is because nobody desired them enough to make the rollout of further stores a sensible economic decision.
Absolutely. So I just don't think that these two products are to the taste of South Africans. I'm not sure many South Africans like a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. In the US, Dunkin' Donuts is very much a transit area where you go through a subway or, you know, bus stations and stuff, and you're picking up coffee more so than donuts. And I'm not sure the South Africans really, you know, we're using it as a coffee destination, to be honest with you. So I don't think Dunkin' had that. And Baskin Robbins, I think the big problem there was they were importing huge amounts of flavors from the U.S. You know, Baskin's only allowed them to manufacture the stuff out of the U.S. So it makes it incredibly expensive. And you also carry lots of risk importing this ice cream and stuff into South Africa. So it's a scale thing. And also, you're absolutely right. You know, it just didn't work in South Africa from a taste preference perspective.
How much does it have to do, Paul, with the presence in South Africa of domestic alternatives for these products, which just are better, whether they're new or whether they're legacy products, they're just better. I mean, you know, Starbucks didn't work in Australia because Australia has a huge number of internal and endemic great coffee brands. And in South Africa, particularly over the last couple of years, we've got some really, really good craft ice cream makers. And, you know, the Woolworths, the sort of much cheaper donut that you buy at Woolworths is as good, if not better, than the Dunkin' Donut one. So how much does that play a role?
I think we've got really strong local competitors. So as an example, the pizza industry. So we've got Domino's that's coming to South Africa, and they dominate the U.S. pizza market. They're really powerful across the world. And yet in South Africa, we've got this pizza brand called Debonairs, which has sort of 40, 50% of the pizza market. So, you know, we have these local brands that are very dominant and very good at what they do, and they've kind of tapped into a local taste. And some of these international brands do struggle to come in and break through it. So the famous brands and Steers and Debonairs, you know, these are really powerful businesses. And they're no pushovers.
I'm trying to think in the last sort of, I don't know, 5, 7, 8 years, Paul, of an international consumer brand which has come in and been successful. Yes, McDonald's, but that's been here 20 years or more. KFC's been here for a very long time. What has come in the last 5 to 8 years and has made a bit of a splash?
Well, I would argue that Burger King has managed. I think Burger King is on the sort of up and up, really. They've got sort of just over 80 stores, so they started that business 7 years ago. And it was always tough to come here, but you're coming here with the second biggest burger brand in the world. So I think that Burger King actually could really make a good inroads into the burger market in South Africa, and it's reached scale. consumers seem to like it. So that is probably the one example where, you know, I think it has worked. But you're right, the list isn't very long.
Ryan has sent me a WhatsApp from Plumstead, Paul, and he says, if anyone's listening who has the capital and means, South Africa needs Taco Bell, please. Do you think Taco Bell would work in South Africa? I don't know the product at all well.
Yeah, so Taco Bell, I think, is part of Yum Brands, which owns KFC, strangely enough. So, you know, there's a lot of these brands out of the US. And, I mean, even what we've seen is Steers go into the UK with they bought a burger brand there. And they got completely blindsided by burger chains like Five Guys and Shake Shack. I mean, we don't even have those here. So it's really, really competitive with many, many different fast food chains around the world, specifically from the US.
Paul Whitburn, thank you. Analyst and portfolio manager at Rosendale Partners, and the WhatsApps which have come in, you know, yeah, the product's all right, but price. There's just no comparison. There's no price-value comparison which equates to the price-value proposition for the South African equivalents.